Every morning, waking up in Guatemala was incredible. There's always kind of a mist, and not a mist, but a fog, and a little bit cloudy, and the sun. It was an hour earlier there, so Central Daylight Time. That's amazing. You're all that way out there west and almost down to the equator, so it's. I was like, what? It's only an hour difference? But I'd wake up and see if the mountains were out, the volcanoes. Volcano de agua, water, or de fuego, fire. That's the one that blew up June 2018. So just to see if they're out. But then the beautiful sunrise colors were upon them. And I was the coffee maker, the early coffee maker. So before everybody else stirred up, make some coffee, sit down, you know, take some pictures. I would send pictures home. They probably got sick of seeing that same old mountain, but it looked different every morning. And supposedly the biggest volcano was non-active. And one morning, one of the team members said, wait, I see smoke coming out of that thing. It's like, holy cow. We're not that far, 10 miles. And back in June 2018, when De Fuego, pyroplastic flow, could have been about 100 miles an hour of ash, just came down that mountain and destroyed villages, carved out a new path down the riverbeds and took out bridges. So it was kind of a, wow, there's volcanoes right there. But it was beautiful. But that's how I started my morning. And the last morning, we all knew we were going to share something. I thought, well, what should I share? You know, what do I want to share with my church family? We've heard from Jay and Kathy, and some of us have gone on the website and different things. The First Congregational Church, Pastor Jody Guerrero is sharing with the church there and seeing how we might all join with mission. So I jotted some things down, but at the beginning of this, I thought, well, you know, maybe not everybody's familiar with the mission. You know, what is the mission of Kids Alive International? Not just Guatemala, it's everywhere. It's all throughout the world. But their mission is this, to rescue orphans and vulnerable children, care for them in compassionate, holistic settings, and share with them the life-changing hope of the gospel. And the mission to bring earthly and eternal hope to forgotten kids. Kids that come up in rough families, you know, whatever's happened to them. They may be forgotten, put in an institution. And a lot of that happens in Guatemala and around the world. But there's a mission of hope, rescuing these children. And we learned in our training, we got a training manual, and that's what I journaled in every day. And I think the team members did as well, and I'll share with you some of my thoughts in a bit from being there. But part of the training was to be reminded that we follow a Savior who leads us out of our comfort zones. And boy, we were out of our comfort zone. We were told, okay, now you can use the toilets and flush them, but you can't flush the toilet paper. All right, well, what do you do with the toilet paper? Put it in my backpack? No, put it in the garbage can. Oh, okay, put it in the garbage can. Don't drink the water there. Don't brush your teeth with it. So there were some little discomforts and some other things. But it takes us out of our comfort zones. And being at those points of mission, it's like being at ground zero, where children are being rescued. You know, sitting on the front step of just watching as children are being rescued and blessed and given hope and life and meaning and purpose. And we were told, don't stay in that pity and, you know, say, oh my gosh, I just can't believe it. No, there's hope. There's stuff happening, great things happening for these young ladies. But we're given a fresh perspective about God's kingdom and being part of a team. And four of us are here today, and my team members, I trust them with my life. We're in Guatemala together. And the relationships were deepened, and we come back with a more robust faith in what God can do. That God can do the impossible. While we were there, it's not appropriate to share everything in this context, but When we were there, 5 siblings were brought into the oasis. We don't know their story, but the story is there's a lot of overlap for each kid that's brought in. 5 siblings that have been abused, violated by a loved one. We didn't see them that much because they have a special place for them to transition. But and seeing the girls, that some that have been there, Joyce Lush and I had dinner in one of the houses with 9 girls, and 4 or 5 of them have been there 6, 7, 8 years, maybe because of their family situations, maybe because they're older, 15 and 16, and there's no foster families adopting 15 and 16-year-old Guatemalan girls that, you know. But the God can make all things possible. I mean, interacting with these girls, their English was better than my Spanish. And 2 of those girls at that dinner, they recited all of Psalm 91. That's a pretty long psalm. In English. And then she saw my phone. I was showing pictures. She said, "Oh, how do you like your Samsung?" Perfect English. Like, I said, "Well, it's not an iPhone." She said, "Yeah, right." So Thelma, Thelma was great. Anyway, what I wanted to share with you is just picture this with me, and then a few comments from Psalm 68, which was chosen for this day, and then I'll share with you a little bit. And then any of the team members that would like can come and share. Picture this from the outside. You're in Guatemala. There's compounds everywhere. If you had a property, you wanted to surround it. You wanted to put a gate around it. So you made cinder block walls 12 feet high. You put barbed wire on it all the way around. And the compound there at Oasis, maybe it's 1.5 acres. I don't know, something like that. 1 to 2 acres, just everything. You know, big, long triangle, just all cinder block. And there might be a few iron gates in the sides and the front of the compound, maybe in the back to get the trash out. And there's an armed guard at the front. I mean, that's what you come upon. Because in that kind of a world, you need to protect your property. And the most precious property was inside. Those young girls. But you go through the doors. And we saw, you know, Jay and Kathy have a video, and they have a drone shot of, you know, flying over the compound. It's beautiful to see. When you walk through, it's like, it's an oasis, not a mirage. There's beautiful grass, and there's a poinsettia bush. Who knew there was a bush? We have little plants. There's a whole bush of them. And the flowers and the birds and children laughing and playing, and there's cottages, and there's a beautiful playscape and playground, and yeah, there's some the basketball court needs lines painted, but we didn't have time for that. We painted a couple rooms, but it's just an incredible place where these girls are cherished and loved and protected, and they are discipled, and I know that Sarah's going to speak to that, what they're taught, and they become champions, you know, spiritual champions, spiritual warriors for God. Because there's an enemy out there that says you will amount to nothing. But our God says, no, you can be all that I've created you to be and more. And that's the hope that they're given. So, you know, the picture at the beginning is of this incredible space and place. And this is what Psalm 68 reveals, as well, a picture at the beginning of God's children. If you were listening to the psalm, or you can look at it again, God's children freed from persecution and violation by enemies. They're freed from that, and they are celebrating joyfully in God's presence. And the presence of God is that which banishes all threats. Banishing all those who hate God, who are against God, who are working with the evil one to destroy humanity. And who are trapped themselves. But they must retreat when God arises. You know, Psalm, the first verse says, "Let God arise. Let God rise up." And this is the text that appears on the lips of those who are crying out for help. They've been persecuted. They're in trouble. They're crying out, "God, help us. God, arise. The enemy is against us." And then to rise for God, our sovereign God, means to assume the authority to act as king and judge on behalf of those who are crying out for deliverance and justice. And God acts. He does. He is present. He arises. And at the heart of the psalm is a conviction that God's power is ultimately oriented toward the people. The deliverance of those who are suffering, you know, the most vulnerable. That's where God's power is prominent. It's not God's sadistic delight, you know, in violence. No, it's to provide protection for those who are oppressed and have no one to defend them. Who's going to defend the innocent and the most vulnerable? And in the midst of the psalm, it may have been read in Janie's translation. Is that the NASB? What's that? Okay, and I don't know if I should have been listening better. I'm sorry. Did she say the face of God? There's a phrase before him. You know, let those who hate God flee from his from God. But the literal translation, the Hebrew, is before, is flee from his face. The face of God imagery kind of overlaps, even though it's not in this translation, but the New Revised Standard it is. Psalm 67, if you're looking, look at verse 1. It says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. That face imagery spills over into the first three verses of Psalm 68. You know, let the evil, those who hate God, flee from his face. And verse 2 strengthens that. Verse 3 expresses the wish that the righteous would be joyful before the face of God. Being there at Oasis, you know, in the compound there and seeing some of the ministry out in a little bit in the villages, you know, you think about about God and his presence, you know. The face of God, what does that mean in that mutual relationship? Those who are ministering, you know, to the children become like a visible presence of God, the face of God, that love and care and trust that, you know, these tias, there's three tias for each cabin that has 9 or 10 girls, and two of them are there constantly. You know, two have to be there 24/7, 365. And, you know, if I was a tia, I would be so burnt out. I mean, that's just incredible. But they were just glowing with the face of God. Just love it. And they have their own families. And I think the tias and what we saw in the children was the face of God. These precious little ones. You can't help thinking, what have they been through? What have they been through? But wow, what a track God has them on now. They're going to change the world. They're going to change Guatemala. I believe that. But this picture, the face of God and let God arise, it's again the picture of God's children freed from oppression and celebrating joyfully in the presence of God. You know, in thinking about the power of God, you know, our God is not power hungry. He gives power to his people. The verses at the end, verse 35, spoke of that. God watches over the powerless, the orphans, the widows, the homeless, the abused, the victimized, the prisoners. You know, and that God is our Abba Father. And as believers, he is our Abba Father. We are all his children. And yes, we all have a mission. We all have an opportunity. And as we believe in him, you know, we don't have to carry the burden, the burdens of the world and the burdens that we're not supposed to bear. We can cast all our cares upon the Lord who cares for us. You know, along with those children, the people working there. From 1 Peter 5, knowing that the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore and support and strengthen and establish you. Psalm 68 gives a picture of what I think we experienced a bit of an oasis, a little Garden of Eden, a place to be nurtured and discipled and to grow and to learn. So, you know, what else do I want to share with you in specifics, just briefly, and then any of the other team members can come up. Well, I jotted down this, and boy, I should have my readers on now. My penmanship is not that great, but I want to share the amazing, miraculous, life-transforming ministry that's happening there that Jay and Kathy are part of, and I think they're still finding their place, but God has them in the midst on the, you know, on the front porch, the edge of just watching miracles happen in powerful ways. And, you know, it's expanding exponentially, the potential, and I think we're to be part of that. You know, I have no idea what that looks like, but God does, and I want to participate. But just what we saw and heard about was God's favor, even with the court system, a corrupt government and a corrupt system that works against justice. They're asking the Kids Alive Guatemala lawyers and social workers to teach them how to do justice right. Judges are calling Kids Alive Guatemala and saying, do you have a place for this kid? I can't believe what's going on. Do you have a place for this child? And usually they say yes. Sometimes they have to say no. But we'll let you know when there's a space. You know, the average stay is 15 months. That's the ideal of these children. And what I wanted you to know also is that the church there, you know, Americans, Guatemalans, ministering to these young ladies, I mean, it is top-notch. There's no personalities rising up. The Lord is rising up. It's the Lord doing the work. The Lord is ministering and caring for these kids. And along with the families and mentors and foster families, and the collaboration with the churches around, and the schools, and missionaries, and teachers. You know, Zapote, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but all the way toward Volcano de Fuego, right at the base of that, you kind of look up, wow. Kids draw pictures of this big fuming mountain. You know, there's pictures in that school there. They're not Kids Alive, but Kids Alive joins with them. And they work together to rescue these girls and to train them and give them a hope and a future. And Sarah's going to speak a little bit about the life-transforming biblical teaching because, you know, we all have different upbringings. And sometimes those who have gone before us, even our own families, were not that encouraging to us. They didn't help us believe in ourselves as much as God would have us believe in ourselves. And maybe we were told that we wouldn't amount to anything or that we were useless or some hear that they are weak and powerless and never amount to anything. And that's not right. But there's a different teaching going on. And again, Sarah will share a bit of that. Because that, all that negativity, that's the reality of evil in our world, folks. That can be a mind-binding spirit upon our own mind and heart. And Jesus has come to break that chain. And we believe in that. That's the gospel. That's what we believe. A few more things. The testimonies that we heard about Doug. He's a covenanter, a Swede from way up in Minnesota. Up in, where is he from? Duluth, Minnesota. That's way up there. That, you know, that's very, very Swedish up there. They is Grandpa Abuela? Abuela. Everybody just calls Abuelo, Abuelo, or Abuela, Abuela, Abuela. Just love him to death. And when God arises, things get noticed. You know, the provision of God gets notice, and sometimes desperation, they want to take that. Wow, you've got all this stuff, and you're helping these girls. And Doug was shot four times outside of Casa, is it Del Esta? Esther? Yeah, Esther's house. But he survived, and he had a great story. We heard from a Marine, Brian. He was our kind of our taskmaster, not really, but he gave us the jobs to do. Go and paint this and paint that. But his story from being a Marine, coming back with PTSD, how God just took a hold of him. It took a while. He had to get himself healed up a bit and to get help. But God took a hold of him and plunked him down there. Maybe he's in his late 30s. One young gal, she drove us to the airport. She came as a 16-year-old to Kids Alive Guatemala, and for the most part, she's never left. I mean, she went back to college and got trained up to be a teacher to go back there and to give back. Wow. Just to hear their stories, God's call. And lastly here, the opportunity to join the work, to join the team, to join Jay and Kathy. Yeah, financially or to go. There's going to be work teams that will work on out back of Esther's house. These are girls that are transitioned out of the Oasis. They're old enough, and they will be independent, and they will do well. But there's kind of some in that house that their mental capabilities, and because of the abuse maybe or just other things going on, they will not be able to be independent. I would not say ever, because God is able. But for the most part, they need a place. They need a house. So God gave them the property behind the compound, which is Esther's house. And they put a gate through it. And there's a big house. And it needs a new roof. Do we have any roofers and builders here? Do we have anybody that can go? I know we do. So there's an opportunity there. There's an opportunity. I don't know, ask Linda and Sarah about going into the village. We heard them, you know, last time they shared. Medical teams going into the villages. We had it easy compared to that, didn't we? The living situation there. So, we can join the work there. And lastly, what is God trying to do here? Why is it that God has churches providing a safe environment for children? The safe church. Why is that? Because he's about protecting all of his children. In a safe environment, kids can grow and learn and become all that God wants them to be. So we can serve here. You know, I feel for Antoinette. She is overloaded and feeling the burden of we need people in positions and different things. You know what? God is calling us each to be part of a ministry. We need people to step up and to be in ministry for our children. It's not about being on a committee. I think it gets confusing. You know, so let us know if you're available. Doesn't matter what age. We're all able to serve where God has gifted us. But we can serve here. What are the cries, the vulnerabilities, if we could hear them in our town, in our area, crying out for God's help? And God is saying, church, that's what I've called you to do. Go. And do it. I'll show you where I'm working. Join the work there. I don't think my life will ever be the same. Being able to witness firsthand what it means to rescue a child. Amen.
So I'd actually like to start by thanking Nick and the worship team for the song that they played, Everywhere I Go, the Sunday before we left. It was not only very catchy, but it was incredibly applicable, and the chorus had really stuck with me. Days before we left, we didn't get the best news for my dad. I was feeling pretty emotional, mostly overwhelmed. And actually, the Tuesday before we left, I said, I'm not going. Can't go. I need to stay home. Mom said, oh, no, you're going. So the next day at work, I actually looked up and printed out the words to that song, Everywhere I Go. And I knew that God would be faithful. He would be with me wherever I went. He would also be with Mom and Dad. That I don't walk alone, and where I go with Him. So thank you, and I hope we hear that again. So I am certainly glad that I went. It was an amazing, impactful week. I was thankful to learn more about what Kids Alive Guatemala is doing, and especially to learn about the ministry at Oasis that serves these young girls. Our week started with the quinceañera, and that's their large celebration when they turn 15. We helped paint nails, do makeup, we set up, we served the meal. It was a really great day. Throughout the week, we painted two classrooms. Some of us worked on sewing projects with the girls. We heard testimonies. We visited the village of Zapote and the Source of Hope School. We learned about Guatemalan history, and we actually got to also visit the Forensic Anthropology Institute. And honestly, I think a big highlight for all of us was just having dinner in the houses with the girls, and that was on our last night. It was a very full week, and lots more could be said about all of it, so hopefully there's more to come. What really had struck me this week, and that I had kind of wanted to share, was the core of the ministry that they taught us. And there's these five principles or values that they teach the girls, and everything they do is based on these five things. And my shirt actually has them all on it, and they start with Yo Soy, I am. So it's Yo Soy, and excuse my Spanish, we're still learning. Yo Soy una hija de Dios, or hijo de Dios. I am a daughter or child of God. Yo soy elegida. I am chosen for a purpose. The S is Yo soy poderoso. I am powerful. Yo soy limpia. I am clean. Yo soy arte. I am art. Each of these five values, it has a Bible verse, a prayer that goes along with them, and these are everywhere down there. Staff carry them almost like flashcards with them. They were in our team rooms, and they all have these principles on them. So I am a child of God, John 1:12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, they gave the right to become children of God. The prayer is that their true identity is received and accepted. We are adopted into God's family, a child of God, and never alone. I am chosen for a purpose. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. The prayer is that everyone accepts that they are chosen for a purpose, bought with a price, and sent out to bear the fruit of the Father. I am powerful, Philippians 4:13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. The prayer is that you know and accept that you have the life-giving power of Christ within you to overcome your past, resist temptation, and live a life of abundance. I am clean, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The prayer is that they will accept that they are clean of all their sins, the sins against them, and can grow into a life of righteous purity. I am art, Psalm 139:14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. The prayer is that she knows she is God's masterpiece, uniquely created to see God's kingdom with her God-given gifts and talents. The girls at Oasis have all been abused and exploited. They might be 6 or 7. They might be 15 or 16 when they get there. Many of them come pregnant. They arrive scared and broken. This ministry embraces them. It wraps around them, meeting all of their needs. Through therapies and a holistic approach, these girls, they begin to heal. They go to school. They see a doctor. They receive multiple kinds of therapy. And most importantly, They are receiving the love of Christ. They have daily devotions, and these five core values are infused in everything that Kids Alive Guatemala does. This ministry is breaking the chain for these girls. They are empowered, and you start to see a joy in them. They get justice, and they have hope for a bright future. A takeaway for me was how these girls and staff are claiming these five truths daily. And then I thought to myself, I'm not claiming these truths for myself, and definitely not daily. But wait, I am a child of God. I am chosen for a purpose. I am powerful. I am clean. And I am art. So my hope for my future is that I'm going to claim these five truths and values. I want my nieces to claim them. I want my nephew, my friends, my family. I want all of us to claim all of these truths every single day as we come alongside the girls at Oasis and support them and pray with them. Thank you.
Sarah is eloquent in what she says. I don't know why today's been kind of hard. But thank you to Mike for picking us up and midnight bring us at 1 in the morning. So, go Mike. I'm just jotting down three things that we did. While Karen and the guys all painted and cleaned and organized, Jody and Kathy and I sewed. So we started off with the little ones that are only like 7 or 8 years old, teaching them how to use a sewing machine. Kathy had pieces of paper so they could learn how to do a straight line. The little ones made scrunchies for their hair, which was pretty exciting to watch. Then that afternoon, some of the girls made pillowcases, which Kathy has brought to sell, and the girls get the money. And then the older girls made totes, little tote bags, which I thought came out. Of course, Kathy is meticulous in cutting, so they all came out really nice. And the girls get $3 for these bags. The men in Zapote only make $3 to $5 a day working all day. So it's a pretty significant amount of money that the girls have to use. My second thing I wanted to share is that after the quinceañera, we had dinner. We helped serve dinner to the girls and their families. There were 25 girls, and they were each allowed to invite 10 people. Some of the girls had nobody show up for that day. But we served dinner, and then at the end, we got to eat with them. And there was one of the Tias works in a house that has five babies. These are babies that are either taken away from the moms or the mothers have left, or anyway, whatever their story is. One of the Tias, her name was Wendy, and she was a Mayan woman, young woman, but she spoke English, and she wanted her nails done, so the next day I went to the house with her and the babies, and I did her nails, and we chatted, and we were talking about her beautiful tops that they make, and she said it took her 3 months to do the embroidery on the colorful tops. And I learned that the girls in some of those villages, that's all they ever do. They learn how to sew at 12, and that's their life, is just sewing. And on Friday, those tissues that we can't save gets burned. And so we were cleaning out our garbage, and I was walking around. She wanted me to come back, and I said, no, we were leaving. And she said, oh, she was making me a tote. But anyway, she gave me, and what she started was that she was making the embroidering for me, so I think I'm gonna. But I just thought, here we came to give, and we come back 10 times more of what we ever thought we would do there. And my third thing, 2 years ago when we had gone to Zapote, only two kids in a family can go to school. So some have 6 or 8, and the parents have to choose which kids are going to be the ones that go to school there. And it's poverty is beyond what you can even imagine. But so they have pictures up, and you can support a girl. And so my little girl is Poela, And so they're at a, this time is their summertime, and so they're not going to school. But I had picked up a Spanish Bible and some other junk to go with it, and a devotional. But when we got there, of course, the school is closed. But Kathy found the dad, and he was a groundskeeper at the church there. And so we walked up to the church, and there was the dad, and I was able to give the dad. And so that's one thing with Kids Alive, is that when you support these families, you have the opportunity to see who you're supporting. And I think for the dad, it was the same thing, that he could see that we pray and love his daughter. And so anyway, that was fun. It was fun playing against Uchos, Locusts, Crazy Eights. Basketball, I still stink at, and that's really. But see the staff that works relentless and selfless for these girls to bring about justice, to give them a dignity that they haven't seen. It's just amazing that we can support Kathy and Jay and the team. It's just they're breaking the cycle of what. I know that's our song, but it's. It's true because they come from families. This is how they were brought up. And they're as tiny as these little ones sitting here. So, anyway, thank you for the prayers. It was awesome. And I'll tell you, at night we got together to kind of talk things over and had devotions. And Pastor Tim's mind is, he's just, so you guys that build things, watch out. He has clean. Thank you.